Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shemir Salashim class learning. Just days away, less than a week now from Yom Hadin. So our final class of the year. We haven't been for a while. Hard when we miss this learning. So Baruch Hashem, we're back. Let's begin to tefillah. Al HaDibur, please. Ribono Shel Olam, Yei Ratzon Lefanech Al Rachem V'Chanan Shetizekeni Hayim V'Chal Yom Lishmar Pi Lishani Milashen Har V'Chilas. Ve'azarim Ledaber Fila Al Ishi Achir. V'Kol Shekein Akai Yisrael. O Achilik Mechem. V'Kol Shekein Mil Hisraim Al Midosef Shel HaKosh Baruch Hu. Ve'azahar Meledaber Divrei Shaker Chanufa Mechokas Ka Askaiva. Onas Tvarim Habanas Panim Eitzanus. V'Chal Dibur Asur V'Zakeni Shelo Ledaber Kim Dabar Hatzarich V'Nyane Gufi V'Nafshi V'Hiyu Kol Masai V'Dibirai L'Shem Shemayim Amen. We are learning L'Yilui Nishmas Tzvi Gershom V'Nyol V'Chana Alav Hashem is L'Shem Shavaliya. The matter of our learning is also continue to be a meal tzeh for your whole family with Torah's Torahs, Besuras Tovos, and only continued Samcha. Baruch Hashem. So we are on page 106. Okay, so the last thing we spoke about was being in a bad assembly, a chabura ra'a, and that's what we went through on the first paragraph on that page. We should stay away from a chabura of those kind of anashim. You should not be caught up with them. Lasi lavo. I'm just recapping very, very briefly what is in this paragraph. Okay, we're up to the kol shekein. Oops. And all the more so that you should always stay away as much as possible from quarrel. When you remember that you're one of the people who tries to stay on guard. And I'm currently reading the biography of Rav Belsky. Very, very powerful, very inspiring, very moving, really. Adam Gadol is unbelievable. But one of the things that's reiterated repeatedly is that even when people insulted him, he was totally manver al midosav. He did not answer back. He didn't get insulted. I just read another vignette about it last night. It's as if they were speaking to somebody else, and it did not bother him in the slightest. And if somebody can reach that madrega, which is a very, 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 very high madrega, they will be able to stay away from quarrel because you're not answering back. So the quarrel is not, you're not adding fuel to the fire. Pan is totally intended. If you remember, you're a tafkid. And when the pasuk says lo yehi kekorach v'ka'adah, so when the pasuk tells us after the machlokas of Korach, there's almost like a narrative or a commentary that you should not be like Korach and his assembly. It's actually counted as a mitzvah lo tase. It is a mitzvah lo sase de oraisa. Not to be like Korach. What does it mean not to be like Korach? Not to become embroiled and fuel the flames of Machokas. V'afilu im yimatze misha yicharfeu. Even if you find someone who insults you, yivlom piv shalo la'anoslo. And Rebelsky, as I reiterated, when you read through the book, you will really see that he should swallow his mouth, so to speak, make himself like a mute, close his mouth, not to answer. V'gado schar me'or avorzan. The schar for doing this is so great, and it's so hard to remember. In the moment, when all you want to do is reply or lash back, it's difficult to remember, but the schar is so great. You know, when my kids, as siblings would, who's going first for this, who's sitting in this seat by this week, whose turn is it to sit next to Abba this Friday, nobody could remember, who sat there last week, who gets the front first, who calls shotgun first, what are the rules of shotgun? Shotgun is who gets to sit in the front seat. When exactly do you have to call it? Can you see the car? Can you see the car? So I tell them, I said, you know, the schar for being mevater is so much greater. Whoever sits in the front seat, whoever sits in that seat, whoever washes till sit down, you're all going to get where you need to go. The schar is so much greater. Look at Rachel Imenu. Gado schar ma'ar v'rezek Moshe Amri Chazal. As Chazal say, Mesech Haschulin ma'i dichtiv. What does the pasuk mean? It says in Yuv Tola la eretz ablima, which means that Hashem holds the world on nothingness. The world is suspended on nothing, which is just true. Our planet is just floating in the middle of the universe. Why doesn't our planet float away? Why isn't it sucked into the atmosphere? You know, for the past month or so, you can see Mars. It's so unbelievable. I don't know if anybody's seen it, but someone in the family just said to me recently, maybe as my husband says, Michal, you're so into Mars. Because every night we go outside, I'm like, look at Mars, I can't get over it. You could see it with the naked eye. It's bright orange. It's in the In the southern skies, unbelievable. Marbu Masech Hashem, Kulam Bechach Masisa, the constellations, the whole world, you can see Mercury, well, it's pretty low, and Venus, it's unbelievable. Taller, also Blima, everything is suspended in nothingness. What is the whole universe being held up by? Nothing. You would think that everything should just float away. It doesn't, but on a deeper meaning, the Chazal expound upon this pasuk, Al mi ha'olam kayam, not on what is the world suspended, but upon whom is the world suspended and dependent, Al mi shebolam peace, Bisha As Miriva. The world is suspended by he who manages to close his mouth, Bolam Espiv, closes or makes his mouth like a mute in the time of a Miriva. The Od Amru, furthermore, Masech HaShabbos, Peches, which I'm going to quote for in a minute, from a minute inside, Hana Elavin Ve'enam Oluvin. These are the ones who are embarrassed and don't respond. Shomim Charpasan, they hear their shame. Ve'en Mashivin, and they don't reply. Aleim Akasuv Omer, about them the pasuk says, Ve'o Havav, and those who love him, Kitseis Hashemes, it is like the setting of the sun, Bigvur, so in its strength. Okay? So Ve'ovav Kitseis, not like the setting of the sun, I'm sorry, like the coming out of the sun, I translate wrong. Ve'ovav, those who love him, Kitseis Hashemes, the strength of the sun is not when it's setting, but rather when it is in its full glory, could say Sashemesh, like when the sun comes out, big brasso. So I want to quote from the Gemara, Misach HaShabbos, Peichas. So the Gemara says here, which that the Chafetz Chaim just quoted, Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis saw in the Braisa, Aluvim ve'enan oluvim. These are the ones who suffer insult, but who do not insult in response. Okay? Shomim Charpasan, this is what the Chafetz Chaim just quoted. They hear their disgrace or their shame, ve'enan meshivin. They do not answer. Osin me'ahava. They act out of love. Love for who, of course? Ahava Hashem. Okay. One second. Usmechin biyisurim. They are happy in suffering. It's easy to say, but it's an exceedingly high madriga. Alehen hakasuv omer. About them, the pasuk says, v'ohavav, and those who love him, because the Gemara just added a little bit more than what the Chafetz Chaim quoted. They hear their insult, they don't respond. They hear their shame, they don't respond. They serve God out of love. Usmeichem b'yisurim, they're happy even in suffering. And Rashi says, one second, osin me'ahava hamakom, usmeichem b'yisurim, al aliva haba alehem. They act out of love. What does it mean they act out of love? For Hashem, and they're happy with Yisurim, al aliva habalim, for the insult that comes upon them. Such a difficult to relate to madriga. It's one thing to close your mouth. That's one madriga. But then the Gemara says, osin me'ahava makom smechem bisurim al aliva habalim. And it's a recognition, really, that nothing is from the other person. Everything's from Hashem. So it's from Hashem, then it's easy, if you really internalize that, if you really believe it, that it's easy to osin me'ahava. Why? Only if you really actually internalize it. It's not from you. You didn't say anything to me. You're just a mouthpiece. It's all from Hashem. Aleim akasuv omer, about them the Torah says, va'ohavav, and those who love him, kitzei sashemesh, are like the sun when it comes out, big vura, so in its might, in its strength. Rashi says, hane'alavim ve'enam aluvim, achirim ban aleihem b'chutzpah. Others come to them b'chutzpah. When they do not come to others, they do not apply to others with chutzpah. And clearly it's one of the most difficult arts of holding your tongue, because that's even more of a koach. And that's why the Chafetz Chaim says, you have to remember, b'zachu shuhu min ha'shomim. What does it mean? You're the guard. It's one thing not to talk lashon hara, which Rachman on some we have enough trouble with, but that could be maybe not instigated. But here, when something is instigated against you, to not answer back. And the footnote in the Art School Gemara teaches us, the Braisa here alludes to that God decided Masech Tchulin. The moon was originally as great as the sun, we know this. It was reduced in size because it complained that it's not fitting for two kings to wear the same crown. We know that. The sun, which did not respond to the moon's complaint, remained undiminished. But in other words, the footnote is explained to us, why does the Pasuk chosen, they are like the sun in its might? You understand why specifically sun? You could say, there's so many things in Maisa Bereishis that are so tremendous. Why not say it's like a great oak tree? It's like a great cedar tree? It's like the lion, maybe? No. Why dafka the sun? Because the sun was insulted, so to speak. The sun was embarrassed, so to speak. Shomim Cherpasan. The sun heard, Kaviyachal, that the moon said, we both can wear the same crown. He really wanted he to be greater. The sun did not respond to the moon's complaint. Remained undiminished. Therefore, the Gemara says, "Ohavav kitzeitz Hashemesh bigvu raso." Ezehu gibor, A covetous Yitzrael. So it's not just Stam that the Gemara says, oh, you're like the sun, big Vura, so no, it's trying to come in to teach us things. It's so beautiful. To be like the sun means to hold your tongue in your strength. The sun did not respond to the moon's complaint, remain undiminished. Similarly, those who suffer insab but do not respond will therefore be as the sun in its Gvura. They will emerge undiminished by their silence. Whereas their antagonists will not only fail in their schemes, but will be lowered down as well. It's easy to learn it.
Right, 100%. And even if you do hold back, you probably still have...
like animosity. That's right. The next madrigal.
It's a lot.
Such a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. But each thing is a madrigal. Each thing is a level.
Right.
It's better at least to not respond, right, and then to work on your internal feelings, I think.
Right, but if you do respond, are you held accountable for that, or it's understandable? It's...
Okay. How you respond, right? Don't we always say that, Alyssa? How you respond, when you respond. Also, perhaps if you respond in the moment of anger, that's not the best idea. Something perhaps that you think about and, you know, come to a more calm state of being, then you're not answering from kas.
Right, so I'm saying, so if you answer not in kas.
So sometimes something obviously needs to be said. Listen, we're human beings and things do need
right,
to be said.
Right.
And we do need to address things. How we say it is very important. Right. So I don't know. Maybe had Korach voiced his complaint a different way. Maybe he'd come to Moshe with a true seeking of understanding. He wanted taiva. He wanted kina. He had kina. He had taiva. He wanted kavod. Perhaps that had been done in a different way. I don't know.
Right.
But we have to certainly know how to speak and when to speak. So I'm quoting from the Heni Malchus biography. It relates very much to what we're speaking about. The first course on Shabbos was always gefilte fish and an assortment of salads. One Friday night, Suda, a Sephardic Jew, who, as Rabbi Machus described, had never experienced Ashkenazic cuisine of gefilte fish, got up and demanded in Hebrew, "Who made this?" And he said, "I made the fish." "This is not fish," said the man. "This is not the way to make fish. Sugar? Matzah meal? You don't know how to make fish." By that time, Henny had been cooking for a couple of decades and had served thousands of guests. Nevertheless, she replied humbly, "That's true. I don't know how to make fish. Would you like to teach me?" "Yes," said the man, "I will teach you." "When are you going to teach me?" "Thursday morning." The man showed up the following Thursday morning. As he taught her how to make Moroccan fish, Henny was the perfect student. Humbly, she said at every step, "What do I do now?" That Friday night, the Machus served both gefilte fish and Moroccan fish. During the first course, the man got up and announced to everybody there, "Do you know why there's fish tonight? Because I taught her." So we're smiling because it's funny, but I think it's an unbelievable illustration of the madriga that somebody can reach to totally self-negate and humble herself. It's a level. I don't know if I will ever be at the situation. I don't know if it's the right thing for me to ever be at the situation. However, it helps us to know that there is a high madriga, and if it helps us in our interactions to tone things down, to calm things down, to avoid machlokas, it's very important to be headed in the right direction. One more from this biography. Okay. Let me see. What did I want to tell you? Wrong page. Asher, this is a story that I've told before, was a middle-aged American man who was here a lot. This is what Rabbi Macha says. He was probably brilliant at some point. He had spent a lot of time in Bellevue, which is brackets, a hospital in New York noted for its psychiatric ward. Asher wore a towel on his head. He had this is Rabbi Machus's words. "He had the strongest stench of any person who ever came into our house. Wherever I went with him, they asked me to leave. I went with him to shul, they asked me to leave. I think it's hurtful to treat someone like that. He was so hurt." Hani would offer him every cologne or perfume in the house. She let him take showers. She gave him clean clothing. She treated him with great dignity. It bothered Hani so much that they threw him out of shul. "It's a miracle he didn't make our house smell. He came to our house all the time. No one ever walked out because of him. That's the miracle of our house. One Shabbos, a guy from California came for the first time. He saw people and he saw that everyone was atypical. He didn't know where to sit. He saw a man with a towel on his head. It was Asher. He thought, oh, he just came out of the shower. So he chose to sit next to him. Little did he know who he landed next to. Now, Rabbi Machas ended his recollection with a reflective. And he thought Asher would get better. Ever the skeptical interviewer, I replied, sorry, Chavad Wigler, he wasn't going to get better. Rav Machlis leaped to Asher's defense. He definitely did get better. When he came, he wasn't speaking at all. You couldn't carry on a conversation with him. Did he ever get into a normal conversation? No, said Rabbi Machlis, but he sang very nicely at the Shabbos table. He would come on Friday to open the grape juice bottles so no one have to open them on Shabbos. He would recite rabbinic text by heart. There was improvement. Okay. And he would say, you see him as a man with a towel on his head. You see a crazy person. Do you know why he's wearing a towel? Do you know anything about his background? Therefore, the grace of God go I. Who knows if I went through the same things he went through, if I would be any better. And I think it's such an important ha'ara and perspective for us. When we want to talk negatively to someone or negatively about someone, if we could just stop, I'm talking to myself, for 2 seconds, and think, do I have their upbringing? Do I know their situation? Do I know what has affected them? Do I know perhaps the insult or the difficulties that they have suffered either as a child or in their adulthood? I can never put myself in someone else's shoes. Trying to have some empathy for their situation might protect us from speaking negative. People think there are people who are normal, says Hani, and people who are not normal. But with the same experiences, we could have all ended up exactly like him. She would say hundreds of times, it could have been me. The day that Hani was operated on for cancer, Mordechai and the Machas children undertook special prayers. They went to Har HaMenuchos. Listen to this. While it's customary to daven at the graves of tzaddikim, and there are many buried on Har HaMenuchos, the Machas family did not go to those graves. They went to the graves of Naphtali, Anatoli, if you read the book, Yosef, Oren, Rachman, Asher, Reuven, and all the other struggling souls for whom Hani had been a mother. If Hani had any merit to evoke, says Rabbi Machas, it was the way she cared for and treated these people. It's an unbelievable real life, modern day example of Shomin Cherpason Ve'ein Mashivin, Osin Me Ahava, continues the Gemara. Those are the ones, Ve'ohavav Kitzei Sashemesh Begruaso. Let's go on. Top of page 108. Does anyone have questions or comments? Okay, top of page 108. If you can keep these ideals and ideas in mind, then you will always have in your mind the all mitzvahs. And I want to talk for a few minutes about this word all mitzvahs. And you will be able to uphold what is written in the Torah. That is a pasuk from what we consider the second paragraph of Shema, which is Perek Yud Aleph, okay? Which you could see right there. So you should put these words on your heart. Now, when we think of all mitzvahs, what comes to mind is what we call the first paragraph of Shema, which is in Devarim Perek Vav. So we have in 2 different parashas, you have the beginning of Shema, and then you have the paragraph that we call Vahaya, V'samtam Estavayel Vavcham. The beginning of Shema tells us Devarim 6:4, Perek Vav Pasuk Dal, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So Rashi says there, Shema Yisrael, Rashi doesn't comment on Shema Yisrael, Rashi says Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Why do we say Hashem is our God, Hashem is one? So does anyone remember what Rashi says? Rashi says, now Hashem Elokeinu, today he is our God, Hashem Echad, in the future he will be the God of everybody. Today we recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam, and in the future, meaning Bevi'as Goel Tzedek, should be Bimhei Rabbi Aminu, he will be everybody's God. But Rashi doesn't comment on Shema Yisrael. The Gemara, however, famously expounds and teaches, what is Shema Yisrael? When you say the word Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you should have in mind, you are being Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim. That is the Kabbalah of Ol Torah, Ol Mitzvos Ol Malchus Shemayim. Okay, so Shema Yisrael. So my brother told me, he was talking to a certain Rosh Hashiva a few Fridays ago, Talmud Chacham, a Rosh Hashiva from Florida, he was talking to, and the Rosh Hashiva asked him a question, which was really food for thought. He said, he'll follow up with the answer. The question is, how do Chazal come to, it's one of the most famous Varklach, if you will, Mamre Chazal, how do Chazal come from Shema Yisrael to being Mekaba Omar Chushamayim? What's the connection between Hear, O Israel? And when you say Hear, O Israel, Hashem is God, Hashem is one, you should have in your mind being Mekaba Omar Chushamayim is the words of so many Kedosh and Mutaharim. Shema Sunaf, Shema Kiddush Hashem, those were their last words. They were in the final moments of life, being Mekaba Omar Chushamayim, in a precedent set by Rabbi Akiva, Yatso Nishmaso Be'achad, when he was being a scraped with metal combs. He was saying the Shema Yisrael, and it has been the battle cry and the cry of Kiddush Shem Shemayim to be makabel all at the moment of death. How do we get from Shema Yisrael, which is Hero Israel, to Al Malchu Shemayim? What's the connection? Okay, Hashem Elkein Hashem Echad. Rashi tells me Rashi doesn't even comment on Shema Yisrael. So the answer is as follows: Shema Yisrael. If you want to be makabel Al Malchu Shemayim, the first thing that is necessary is ears that hear and a heart that understands. It's not enough to hear what somebody's saying and just to stop, listen to the words. You have to internalize what's being said. Shema means not only the sense of audition, that your brain is being stimulated by the sounds, but to absorb the sound, to hear the words, to really pay attention to what is being said and internalize those words. If you listen to what the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Shema Yisrael, says Moshe Rabbeinu, heroes do. What does it mean? Hear everything I'm telling you. Once you truly hear and internalize and accept the words, then you can come to place him on your heart. But if you're not really paying attention and you're not really hearing and you're not really absorbing the words, then you can never be Makaba Al Malchu Shemayim. It's like trying to have a conversation with somebody while they're texting. It's like trying to have a conversation with somebody while they're checking their phone. So yes, their auditory cells may be stimulated up to, you know, the neural pathways that go up to the brain, but they're not really listening to what you're saying. It's a biological experience of hearing, but there is no internalizing. So if you want to know how to be makaba al malchus shemayim, the only way is to really listen, i.e. hear, i.e. internalize what the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying. That's what Moshe is saying. Shema Yisrael, really pay attention. Put aside all the distractions in your life. If you want to be makaba al malchus shemayim, you have to focus 100% on the Ribbono Shel Olam. Think of a conversation. I know, think of a mother trying to read a book to her young child, but the phone is here, and every time it buzzes, she looks at the phone. So she reads three words, and she looks at the phone. She reads three words, and she looks at the phone. 1 second, I just have to text Mr. X, Y, and Z. 1 second, I just have to apply this email. So what kind of relationship are they having? A very sad one. But you know, that's really something to our relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam. So what Chazal tell you? You want to be makaba al malchus shemayim? You know what you have to do? Make sure you're really hearing what God says. Then, the samtam estuvayel bavchem. Only then can you transmit it to your heart once you hear. So that is this idea of makaba al malchus shemayim. Interestingly, and this came up at our Shabbos table, and I actually read this Friday night at our Shabbos table. When we talk about al malchus shemayim, sometimes we interpret or misinterpret Torah mitzvahs as a burden. Because what does all mean? A burden. That's the problem with translating out of Lashon HaKodesh. Because it can become very dangerous. We shouldn't see not speaking Lashon Hara or any mitzvah as a burden. We should see it as an ennobling privilege. That's the truth. What does it mean, oh, it's so hard? Like when we say it's so hard not to speak Lashon Hara, it is the Maaseh Torah. But I should also, what I should really be saying, maybe I'm going to try and say this from now on, I should really be saying, I'm telling myself, it's a great privilege that I have Chovas HaShmir. It's a tremendous privilege. I want to quote from a Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik, Kodesh Bracha. Zchuso Yagein Aleinu. Okay. 1 second. The Torah cautions us regarding the chinuch of sons and daughters. It is meaningless to tell children this is what they must do regarding mitzvahs unless they see the mitzvah as something precious to parents. If the child hears the father say, it's difficult for us to observe Shabbos or Yom Tov, but we have no choice but to pass the test, this will not teach the child anything positive. The child might say, well, I don't have the spiritual resolve of the previous generation. I can't prevail over my Yetzer Hara. A child must hear, keeping the mitzvahs is not a test at all. Torah and mitzvahs are alive, they are so precious. Okay. In a famous speech, Rav Moshe noted the sad historical fact that in America in the early 1900s, children of many Orthodox Jewish immigrants left the path of Torah. Rav Moshe declared a primary cause of this tragedy was the parents' attitude. Yes, the test of keeping Shabbos may have been difficult. Businesses were closed on Sunday, but open Saturday, and they became known as pink slip Jews, because they would say they can't work Saturday. Every week a new pink slip, every week looking for a new job. Well, some succumbed to the test and worked on Shabbos, many did not. He's not talking about those people who worked on Shabbos. He's talking about of those who did not work on Shabbos, there were two categories. Of those who refused to compromise Shomer Shabbos, there were two distinct groups. Some would come home and say, Oy, si shver zu zayin ayud. Ah, it's hard to be Jewish. But what can we do? We are Jews. Jews do not work on Shabbos. Children of such a home with such parents grew up feeling Judaism is a burden. Many of them, upon reaching adulthood, decided they would rather not bear such a heavy burden. Then the second category of Jews who didn't work on Shabbos had a very different attitude. They would tell their children, it's true, it's not easy to be fired every Sunday for keeping Shabbos. Not that Shabbos is hard. Something's hard. You're allowed to say something's hard. Life is not always a walk in the park. But what's hard? Is Shabbos hard or is being fired hard? Do you see the difference? What does it mean about all Malchus Shemayim to really listen to Rebbe Hashem? Does Rebbe Hashem and Mami always be saying, oh, it's so hard, but I have no choice? Oh, it's so hard to prepare for Shabbos. Oh, it's so hard to cook for comedy. Oh, it's so hard to afford my Arba Minim. Oh, your tuition is, it's so hard. Yeah.
But you were just saying before how the media, Rabbi Belsky, being Mivater, and being quiet.
Yes.
And that, it's hard. It's not easy.
It's hard. But maybe we also need to see, I'm telling to myself, as a zchus, or as a privilege, or as an ennobling experience.
Definitely, but not everything good comes easy, you know?
So don't you know the famous word on that? It's exactly right. Shana Tovu Masuka.
Right.
Why do we say Shana? It's exactly what you just said. Why do we say Shana Tovu Masuka? I've heard this from a number of different people in a number of different places over the years. Same people tells me on the same time. Why do we say Shana Tovu Masuka? Because just say Shana Tova or say Shana Masuka. Not everything good is sweet. For example, just a small example, getting a vaccination, getting 3 vaccinations. It could be painful. Your arm could hurt after. You might not be able to lift your elbow up to a certain point for 2 days. It's good, but it's not sweet. Not everything sweet is good. Talking Lashon Hara in the moment might feel very sweet. After, it's not good. Okay, I think it's very important and it's very relevant when we talk about the word all mitzvos. The other Jews would say it's not easy to be fired every Sunday for keeping Shabbos and having to search for a new job. But you know what? It's worth it. How fortunate we are to have Torah and keep mitzvos. No money in the world will make me work on Shabbos. Hashem will help me so we have what we need. Children of such parents grew up with a love and appreciation for mitzvos. And then nothing would sway them for living a Torah life. One second. One certain Rosh Hashiva remembers hearing Rav Moshe speak, which is one part of the address, made an indelible impression. People have destroyed their children, says Rav Moshe, by always repeating, as is schwer zu sein a Yid. It's hard to be a Jew. No, it is not hard to be a Jew. It is beautiful and joyous to be a Jew. And his face glowed with pride and happiness when he said those simple words. 1 second. Yes.
I agree, but also it is hard at times, but if it's your attitude. For example, if you were carrying a suitcase full of stones, you'd be schlepping it and you're not a happy camper that you have all these, you're schlepping what, stones? But if you're schlepping a whole suitcase of diamonds, you're happy to schlep it.
It would be heavy.
Right.
But you would be happy.
Yes.
That's a very nice mashal, and that's how we should, beautiful, and that's how we should look at Torah mitzvahs. It says that. It says that in the Hani Malchus book, by the way. It's in the Malchus book that she looks at every mitzvah as a diamond. It literally says that in here. 1 second. I just wanted to see that. Okay. Okay.
We
use the word hard because it is hard.
Right.
But we have to be cautious with how we use that word. What did you say?
Look, this world is not meant to be easy,
No. But it depends what we're defining as hard. That's my point. When we talk about Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim, accepting the Ribbono Shel Olam as the Melech Malchus Shamayim should not be viewed as hard. Torah shouldn't be viewed as hard. Yahadus said of Moshe Zatzal, mitzvos is not hard. It's the greatest privilege.
Right, it's a privilege, but it can still be,
a challenge, maybe. But it should be seen as an ennobling challenge.
Yes.
I understand you because I agree. It is hard, but I also need to be sure, and I'm talking to my own self, that I have the right attitude and the right perspective when it comes to all Malchus Shemayim and all mitzvahs. Sometimes you think of a burden, but your mashal is very apropos. If you're stand carrying a suitcase 50 pounds of rocks the whole day, you're going to hate that 50 pound of rocks. And if you're carrying a 50 pound bag of diamonds at the end of the day, if they say make it through the day, you get all the diamonds, it's not going to be as hard. It might be physically difficult, but psychologically, it's going to be very, very redeeming. Yeah?
Right.
Okay, let's go on. Torasso uvir kosav shemivarech l'kosh baruch hu, and then the Torah and the brachos that you make to kosh baruch hu, al yidei zeh tohoros, will be through these purifications. Shelo nimshchalein ruchatuma, because if you manage to guard yourself, and if you manage to have the right perspective, and if you see this all as an ennobling tafkid, then your Torah and your brachos that you bless to kosh baruch hu will be through these purifications, because you have not been swayed after the impurity. Ma she'ein kein kesheino zahir b'dibrav. It's not like this when you are not on guard with your words. Umedaber diburim asurim, and you speak forbidden words. Tuma merachafas aleihem, because then what happens to your Torah and your brachos? Tuma, impurity hovers over them. Umetamin, no, I skipped a line back. Viruchos hatameos, impure spirits or impure wind. Impure ruach, can't translate that. Lochos elu hadibrim hatmeim. These tmeos take these impure words. Umitamim bam divrei hakadusha shemedaber. And what happens to divrei kadusha that you spoke? What's going to be? It's going to be infused now with. So you spoke brachos, you spoke Torah, you gave a dvar Torah, you sang zmiros, then you finish the zmiros and you go to speak a whole nice dvar of lashon hara, and then you go to bench. What happens to those words of brachos? That's what he's saying. It's ensconced in this ruach tuma kemavar bazar akash, as the Zohar teaches. Ha'ataktiv la'el achrei dibra Rambam, and he already spoke about this in regard to the words of the Rambam. Mishfil zesidura achar tefila bakasha, and it is for this reason that after the tefila we make a bracha pesachli bibasar secha. Open my heart to your Torah. Achar bakasha nitzar lishoni meira. What good is it to have a heart open to Torah if my mouth is not careful with what I speak? Yes, but if my heart is open to Torah and my mouth is careful with what I speak, then the Torah will be davar tahora. De'im lo yinsar lishono meira. Because if he does not guard his tongue from evil, ein kedai lehit palel psach libi, then it is not even worth it. It's pointless to daven psach libi b'sor secha. You're davening, your heart should be open for Torah, but the first thing you need to know is that your mouth has to be on guard. So I went to Shira, Rabbi Willig, gave a shir this past Shabbos afternoon, a lady shir, and I can't believe how the source I want to go through with you together is, first of all, perfect conclusion, because it's about shofar. And I did want to tell him how tie in this shir to the Amim Noraim that are upon us, but also specifically to this paragraph. It couldn't be more apropos. What we just saw in this paragraph is that it's the Beis HaLevi, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, this is Rabbi Willig's, Rabbi Akiva Willig from Beis Medrash Woodmere, his hand up from Shabbos. So from the Beis HaLevi, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. But what we just read is that what happens to your Torah and your brachos when you speak Lashon Hara, or Rechilas, or Kaz, or Gaiva, or Nas Dvarim, or Habanas Panim. So those words of Tahara now become ensconced in Tuma. So if you want to prevent the words from being Metame, you have to watch your mouth. Therefore, before you can open up your heart for Torah, you have to be prepared to be, take upon yourself, Chod Vasa Shmira, which is a challenge, but should be seen as a great privilege. Yeah, is that a good way of saying it? Mm-hmm. Let's see what the Beis HaLevi has to say. Again, this is beautiful, and I want to go through it with you together. And I think it's very important. Well, of course, it's very important to the Beis HaLevi, but it also relates so unbelievably to what we just spoke about. Okay, everyone's with me? Okay. So there were a couple of words, just like a couple, literally, two, three words I didn't understand, but we can, maybe you understand them, and we can certainly go through the piece together, because the rest of it we can understand. Okay, what are you asking for? That I should forgive you. Rak al divrei avon. One second. See, I don't know what that word is, vahashiva. I don't know what it's referring to. I don't know where it goes in the sentence. There's no punctuation. I'm just telling you that. Yes. We can still do the piece, okay? She'ena mevakeshes rak al divrei avonu shegavu mimenu. You're asking for forgiveness, but you have all these sins that have overtaken you. Ditalsa hasiba she'ena mekabel tfilasa. What is the reason that the tfilas are not accepted? Hu mishum cheit halashon shechatu bidiburim asurim. First of all, I just went to the Shir Shabbos. It happens to be in plain language. So Rabbi Willig was speaking about shofar, but that he included this in his two pages of source sheets. And Dafka, where we're up to in the Sefer, what we just spoke about is what happens to your tefillah and your bracha. It becomes mitame from all those forbidden words. Look what the Beis HaLevi, Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Salvechik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the father of Chaim Brisker, a great grandson of Rav Chaim of Elazhin. Okay. You daven, so why is my tefillah not being accepted? Why? because your tongue spoke forbidden words. Ukamodi Isa b'Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Like it says, like the Gemara says, Maseches Rosh Hashanah. I'm in line two towards then. Mipnei ma ein kohen gadol nichnas. You know this. Lifnei v'lifanim b'vigdei zaha. We're talking about the avod of Yom Kippur. Why doesn't the kohen gadol go into the kohen shakadashim in his begadim that have zahav? We know the kohen hedjot had four begadim. The kohen gadol had eight begadim. But when the kohen gadol goes into the kohen shakadashim on Yom Kippur to serve, he does not go in the special big day kohen gadol because they have zahav. He only goes in the arba begadim that are also for the kohen hedjot, which don't have zahav. Why? So the Gemara famously says, "Ein kategor na'asesanegor." Because why? You all know this, yeah? Exactly. The prosecutor cannot become the defense. What prosecuted against you cannot all of a sudden be defending you. What was the prosecution with the zahav? You all know this. Come on, ladies. We're running out of time. Ega ha-zahav. So it's prosecuting against you. So the Gemara says every punishment that comes to Knesset Yisrael has a tainting of the ego hazav, the sad sin in it. So ein kategor nasa senegar v'perich v'ha'icha big day zahav b'chud. So he takes off and changes the big day zahav outside, right? Are you with me? Or mishnei lifanim. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but we know he goes inside with the linen garments alone. Ka'amrin, like it says, v'harei kimo kein amu. Oh, so why does he just bring up the kohen gadol? Now he's going to say, I'm going to explain to you what this has to do with. He started off by talking about tefillah. Your tefillah is not accepted because you spoke words of. He says pashu mishum chet halashon shechatu b'diburim asurim. He says pashu. You want to know why tefillah is not accepted? Because of the forbidden words you spoke with your mouth. Then he takes a break as if there's a tangent. I want to tell you something. You know why the kohen gadol doesn't go in big day zahav, but he cannot wear those clothing. He has to change them on the outside. Why? Ein kategor nasa senegor. What it prosecutes against you, gold from the egal zahav, cannot all of a sudden become your defense attorney. What does this have to do with how he started off, which was your tefillah is not accepted because of. Hello, ladies, Lashon Hara. Good. Okay. Vahare kamo kein amru. Now he's going to tell us what the comparison is here. We know that we face a certain way, right? When we daven, you have to face Mizrach, and when you're in Yerushalayim, you have to face Har HaBayis. One who davens has to yikaven eslibo. How do you translate yikaven eslibo? Dedicate his heart or concentrate with his heart, put his heart towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Im kein harehu lifanim. It's as if when you daven, if you really have the right kavana, when you face Mizrach, you're not just looking at the compass which way is east, but you understand why you're facing Mizrach, because you're like the Kohen who's doing the avoda in the base of Mikdash. Now we don't have Karbanos anymore, we have Tefillah, Shlosh HaDvarim HaOlam Amed, Atar Avoda Gmilas Chasadim. The avoda today is not Karbanos, the avoda today is Tefillah. So when you daven, we should really think to ourselves, I am going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. If so, harehu lifnim, if so, if you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, should I tell you what line? 1, 2, 3, 4, fourth line, middle of the line. And in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we have a principle, sham ein kategor nasa sanegor. We have a principle that in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, what, ladies, what's the principle? The prosecutor cannot become the defense attorney, v'kevan deba'osan motzos ha'pechato, and because with those emanations of your lips you have sinned, b'lashon hara urechila. Look what the Beis Halevi says. You see that? I don't know what mem shin hei stands for, but we understand what it means. Ein ha'tfila mikubal. Therefore, you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're now davening. Do you understand what he's saying? You're davening. But what happened with those same lips?
You said
Lashon. You spoke Lashon. You spoke Rechilas. You did Halbanas Parim. So there are your, what are the lips? Prosecutor, defense. Prosecutor. Now you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and you say words of Torah and Tefillah and Brachos. How could that be? Now you want it to be your defense? But isn't your lip your prosecutor? The Kamosha Amar. You see I gave you an asterisk to tell you where this pasuk is from? Yeah? Look at the bottom. It's from Yeshayahu, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tes Vav. I'm still looking at the kasuv of the Beis HaLevi. He now quotes a pasuk from Yeshayahu. When they spread their hands to me, that means in prayer, I will hide my eyes from them. Gam ki tarbu tefila, I'm at the bottom. Also, when they tarbu, rove, when they offer a lot of prayer, einenu shomea, look what he says. I won't hear, not he, the Navi. Yedeichem damim balei. Why won't I accept your tefilas? Your hands are full of blood. Our hands can also be full of proverbial blood. We have learned many times that Lashon Hara is equal to Shvichus Damim. So let's go back up to the Beis HaLevi. V'zeh heshiva lo divrei avonos gavru mimenu. And the words of his sin have overcome him. Tahacheta should be dibur gavu, because the sin of speech has overtaken him. V'imkein ani mivakeh shetimcha acheta dibur. And now I come and I ask, I clap an acheta, acheta shechatav v'necha b'lashon hara. B'vitui sufasayim. I don't know. Zil zuhor memorim. That's another chet of speech. Now I ask that you should forgive me for my sins of speech. U'memele yikabel tfilaso. V'zehu sha'amar Iyav im etzadeik pi yarshienu. Iyav said, even if I will be righteous, my mouth will still cause me to stumble. I'm still a rasha through my mouth. Peirush dim eretzal hitzadeik. That if I want to become a righteous, be'im kein muchach anochi la'asos ha'pel shalich evurai. So what's the problem? I come and I make my peh the shaliach for me. V'hu ba'atzmo yarshienu. I send my mouth through tefillah to find mizchusim. But my mouth itself prosecutes against me. It yarshi any. It finds bad for me. Makes me into a rasha. The same mouth that I spoke lashon hara. Rechila zil zohorim memorim. Bitui sufasayim. If you look through the alchet, you will see how many. I've spoken about this before in different shiurim. How many have to do with kolach hadibur? The whole night of Yom Kippur is opened up with kol nidre. What are you talking about? Vows you took that you shouldn't have made. Once again. So my mouth is sin. My mouth is my prosecutor. I'm standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim when I daven, because I have to be mekaving my heart to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So if the Kohen Gadol takes off the big day Zahav, and he can only wear the linen garments, in Kategor, Nasa, Sanegor, but what am I doing? I come with my mouth that prosecutes against me. I send it to find Tzchusim for me, and it's making me into Rasha. Umelamed kategora chalila alai. It's my same mouth through which I utter brachos, Torah, tefillah, prosecutes against me. Do you understand so far? V'imkein kodem sheya'amod v'hitpalel tzarich lefashfesh b'ma'asav v'lashuv al cheid halashon. What do we say when we start Shemona Esrei? It's a pasuk from Tehillah and Perek Nun Aleph, I believe. Hashem sefasai tiftach ufi yagid osecha. Before you come to daven, you need to examine your deeds and you need to do teshuvah for sins of the tongue. Ubezei ba'ar. And this will be clarified. Masha amar ha'gemar b'Rosh Hashanah. What the Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Amru lifnei malchios kedei shetamlichuni aleichem. You should say malchios. We should anoint God as king. Rosh Hashanah is known as Coronation Day. Yom Kippur is known as Day of Atonement. Yom HaKippurim, Day of Forgiveness. But Rosh Hashanah has a different theme. If you pay attention to the Rosh Hashanah davening, really the Rosh Hashanah davening is about Hashem as Melech. Amru lifnei zichronos, kedei sheyale zichronecham lifanai letova. Zichronos, or so that Hashem should remember our merits before Him for good. What about shofaros? So we just spoke about, you ready? We're coming to the climax of his piece here. Malchios, we accept, we already spoke about all malchus shamayim. Hashem is malach. Zichronos, he should remember our merits latova. What about shofaros? What's the third section, if you will, or the third foundation of tefillas musaf? Malchus zichronos shofaros. B'masho for peirosh. Look at this. Shelo al yedei motos hapeh. Rak me'emuka deliba. The shofar is a type of tefillah. Why is shofar the essence of Rosh Hashanah? So many who are not connected or not affiliated will come to hear shofar. At the bare minimum, a mother who is busy with her young children and can't make it to shul has to hear the kolos. And the bracha that we make is the Shmoa Kol Shofar. What is so integral to the tefillah of shofar? It's a tefillah that's not uttered from our lips. Why don't we want utterances of our lips on the most powerful day of the year? When chol ba'ei olam ovrim lefanecha kivnei maran. Why don't we want to use the power of lips? Because the power of lips is solid. Because the power of lips is wearing gold into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Because the power of lips is that the same mouth that I send to find Sidkus for me is ultimately, says Eov, going to make me into a Rasha. How could I come to Ribo Shalom with these lips that spent a whole year talking bad? Now I daven. Now I say brachos. Now I say Torah. So I send the lips, the emanations of lips up to Ribo Shalom. They're solid. They're dirty. That's not in my defense. They're going to prosecute against me, my lips. Unbelievable. Look at this. Why shofaros? The ma shofar, last line of the Beis HaLevi. Perush shelo al yedei motzos hapeh. Rak me'emuka deliba. Because the tefillah should not come from emanation of the lips, but from the depths of the heart. What do we read in the Chafetz Chaim right at the top of this page? V'samtam estervai ela al levavchem. It should come from the deepest recesses of my lips. V'derech kol ha-shofar lo al yedei kli ha-dibur shakol ha-shana. And that's why we have a unique mode of tefillah to Rosh Hashanah that we do not have the entire rest of the year. We don't have it the whole rest of the year. Shofar is the central motif of Yom Hadid. Why? Is it dafka? Because it is not from the lips. Dafka because it's a tefillah that emanates from the depths of my heart. And the heart of the Jew is unsullied. And the heart of the Jew is untainted. Because when we are Mekaba Omachu Shemayim Shema Yisrael Shavakan Hashem Echad, and when we say what we call the first paragraph of Shema, we always link it to the second paragraph of Shema, and the second paragraph of Shema with the Chavetz Chaim God, Samas Dvarai Ela Alavavchem Val Navshchem. And while the external of the Jew may become tainted, and the lips may become tainted, and the guf may become tainted, the levavchem and the nafshechem is always pure. The shofar is the call of the internality of man, and the internality of man is never tainted. And that is enough to be our defense. And therefore the Beis HaLevi says, don't wear gold in the kosher kadashim. Don't come with your lips and think you're going to find defense. That's defense. It's going to prosecute against you. You want to know how to come close to your Ribono Shel Olam? You want to know how to appoint him as Melech? You want to know how your tefillah should be accepted on this day of year when we need our tefillahs accepted more than any other day of the year? No, we always need them accepted. Today sets the tone for the entire year. So you come with shofar. Me'emuka deliba. V'darach kol shofar lo ayodei kli hadibur shel kol shana. Unbelievable. I just want to end with a thought, if I may. I know our time's really up. Can I end with a thought or no?
Of course.
Okay. I know we're not getting to that today. I actually didn't plan to get to that today because I really did want to end with these thoughts regarding Rosh Hashanah. To give livers with a tam. Okay? One second. This is from a new sefer just put out by TorahWeb.org. It's a compilation of different Divrei Torah from different Rosh Hashivas and Rabbanim. I'm quoting from Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky. Okay. For there to be forgiveness on Yom Kippur, there must be atonement, restitution. That's not always easy to achieve. Interesting, he doesn't say it's hard. He says not easy. Okay. Ironically, easiest of all is if you're a ganef, a thief. He says ganef, you stole something. Because then all you're required to do if you're a ganef is make a monetary compensation. It's much more difficult if you maligned someone by speaking disparagingly of him. Here you may be in a quandary, because if you ask the person to forgive you for having spoken badly, you may now cause him more agony, more pain. Now he's going to start to think, I wonder what he said about me. Who did he say to? Rav Yisrael Salanter said, in this case, it is better. You ready? I'm not giving a psak halacha. If you really need hadracha in a personal situation, please ask a shayla. I'm quoting from Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky. Rav Yisrael Salanter said, in such a case, it's better not to tell the person you spoke badly about them. Hence, there is no way to ask for forgiveness. Imagine the lengths the Torah goes to ensure somebody's menuchas hanefesh. In addition, if you spread a false rumor about him, halacha does not require that he forgive you. Whereas one can make restitution by returning one's money. There's no way to make restitution if you stole someone's time. Another example, let's say you agreed to meet someone and you keep him waiting for 20 minutes. You stole his time. You cannot replace his time. Perhaps you mistreated your child with improper discipline. You had a very difficult day. You were very irritable. You were very harsh to your child. That is an offense against another person, which requires forgiveness. So sometimes we take certain people out of the category. It's just my kid. I don't need to ask the mechila. However, inasmuch as the child is legally incompetent, he cannot even grant forgiveness. Let's say he's too young to grant forgiveness. Quote, and Yom Kippur cannot erase that sin. Ben Adam Lechaveh applies to husbands and wives. An abusive spouse occurs a sin when he abuses the partner. And the abused spouse may not forgive wholeheartedly. Suppose someone asked your advice. You told them advice. It turned out it was misguided. They sustained loss because of your advice. Even if your intentions were good. Inadvertently, you caused them damage. You're responsible. The Stipler got on in the very last moments of his life, cried bitterly, saying, quote, "I'm afraid perhaps I may have given someone bad advice." What can we do about these situations in which restitution is not feasible? One of the students of the Vilna Gaon felt he had offended someone by sarcastically rejecting an explanation of a Talmudic passage. He went from shul to shul throughout Vilna, looking for the man to ask mechila. He could not find him, and he was heartbroken. He came back to his rabbi, the Vilna Gaon, and the Gaon told him, "If you have truly done everything within your power to ask forgiveness." Also, when I read this, I'm thinking of my own situations. You should think of your own situations. Look at the power and the importance of being Adam Mechaveiro and the whole crux of Shemir Salashon. Those mouths, the purity of the lips that we turn into a prosecutor against our very own selves. We've done it. No one else brought us to court. No one else made our lips impure so that we can't use our lips on Rosh Hashanah. We did it. If you have truly said the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, done everything within your power to ask forgiveness, Hashem will put it in his heart to forgive you. Last paragraph of Rav Tversky. That is the solution for those incidents in which one cannot atone. If one makes serious effort and make restitution, we still have a week. Kol Uzman Shaner Doleik Afshar L'Taking. There's a week less. A little less. If one makes serious effort to make restitution and appease the offended people, then Hashem will put it in their hearts to forgive. But one must be thorough in making restitution. And thorough, I guess this is very also very practical, and asking forgiveness wherever possible. And that includes the spouse and children if you have offended them, because only then will one merit Hashem's intervention on one's behalf. As Rosh Hashem, we should be zochet to see the Torah. I agree, it's hard. But we should see it as a privilege.
Definitely. On that note of privilege, I think I saw it on one of the Meaningful Minute little snippets.
Speak a little louder.
They said that when you say Shalom Asani Gai, you should think that there are very few Jews in the world. So very, very small percentage of Jews in the world. So if you're born a Jew, it's as if you won the Mega Million lottery. That's how small a chance it is that you have be born a Jew. So you should be you feel like you won the lottery. You're so lucky. What you were given the opportunity to be a Jew.
Baruch Hashem. You know, yesterday morning, my 12-year-olds got up for school and they were very tired. So I said to them, I gave him a kiss before Carpa picked him up. It was early, and I said, it's very hard to be so tired. Motzei Shabbos was tichel. Because remember, I just read that. We just discussed this on our Shabbos too, friend. I said, it's very hard to be tired, but it's geschmack to be a Jew. We should have the right perspective, the right attitude. The Ribbono Shel Olam should continue to grant us the siyata d'shmaya, going into Tafshin Ayin Tes, that our very own lips should never prosecute against us. We should have the chachma, the wisdom, the bina, and the das to make sure that the defense is the defense, and we don't cause our own prosecution. But when we do, Baruch Ata Hashem, the Shema Kol Shofar, Hashem should hear the sound of our shofar blast, which comes from Amuka Deliba, and that's Chus. We should omer a kasiva, v'chasima tova, ashana that's tova, amuvu rachas. Okay, Rabbi Kashana Tova Masuka, thank you all these very much. Resource Tovos.